All right, our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 32, verse 9a will serve as our text. Psalm chapter 32, verse 9. Do not be like the horse or like the mule. And we're going to get this in its context beginning in verse 8. We read, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So our passage this morning speaks of the response of men and women to the Word of God and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Horses and mules are held up as examples of what we do not want to be, what we do not want to emulate or imitate with respect to their stubbornness. Stubborn mule is a modern day proverb and byword, and as so many modern day proverbs and expressions, it's taken right out of the Bible. Do not be like the horse or like the mule. Our self-will should be submitted to God's will. First, regarding the gospel, hearing the word of God. And secondly, regarding Christian living, obeying the word of God. Our self-will should be submitted to God's will regarding the gospel, hearing the word of God. Do not be like the horse or like the mule in your hearing of the truth, which will save your soul. We have a subtext this morning. I will be reading from it. You can follow along if you'd like. Otherwise, you can simply refer to it later. All of these scriptures are listed in your bulletin, as is our custom. And so we're going to be following the parable of the sower this morning in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. If you wish to follow along, you may, or you can simply just listen and refer to that scripture later. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. So the first kind of hearer we have is the wayside hearer. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. This is the stony ground hearer. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is the thorny ground hearer. With respect to the gospel, the wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, and the thorny ground hearer have not received it. They have not apprehended it. They're not saved. They haven't received the salvation of God. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So as we said, four kinds of people. Only one of them is truly saved and headed for heaven. The good ground hearer. This is its meaning in context with respect to the gospel response. There are applications here, however, to believers. Don't be sitting here thinking that there's nothing in it for you when you hear this entire first section of the sermon. We Christians are from time to time wayside hearers. We can be very careless, even though we have accepted and received the gospel. We can be very careless in our hearing of the additional truth that we do receive. Many times we can be excited. We can read the Word of God and we can be like, wow, I never saw that in God's Word. I never saw that before. And we get all excited about it, and yet we forget about it later and we don't obey it. We haven't lost our salvation, but with respect to hearing that particular truth, we have been a hearer after the stony ground model. Stony ground. Even as Christians, even as blood-bought believers in Christ, we can still fall into the trap that the world sets for us. So four kinds of people. Only one of them truly saved and headed for heaven. We've got applications for those of you in my hearing who have not received Jesus Christ as Savior. But there are also applications for those who have by way of extension. All of these things are profitable, not only for the conviction and reproof of the unbeliever, but also for the conviction and reproof of the believer. It's good, a good principle of Bible study as we read through the scriptures and we start to meditate on these things, to say not only what is the meaning of this in context, what is the primary meaning, what is the main point, but also to say, what do these things say to me? The wayside hearer. Asaph remembers when he used to be like the horse or like the mule. Perhaps you can identify with them. Asaph writes, I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Picking up on this same imagery. The prophet Isaiah writes after this manner, and Jesus quotes it immediately, or actually within the context of Matthew chapter 13. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. These people hear the gospel, and it goes in one ear and out the other ear. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm doing just fine in my sin. This is the thinking of the unbeliever, the wayside hearer, the careless hearer. They got more important things to worry about, like the things that have to be, you know, done around the house or their job or whatever the case is. They don't know that they are like the horse or like the mule going to the slaughterhouse. The horse or the mule will be led to the slaughterhouse just as easily as it will be led to the open field to feed. They don't know the difference. Do not be like the horse or like the mule. The stony ground hearer. The stony ground. This is somebody who is all excited about Christian truth. You may have been this person and had experienced a false confession at one point, or you've seen others confess falsely, all excited about the gospel of God, the stony ground hearer. But they want the gospel of God on their own terms. And when it doesn't match up, when the answer to the prayer for healing is "my grace is sufficient for you," and not be healed. Now, God can answer that prayer either way. But when the difficult time comes, "oh, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for the gospel on these terms." They never really accepted the true gospel. They never became a disciple. False confession. There's a perfect example of this in the Gospel of Matthew. Remember Jesus, this prophet from Nazareth, this prophet from Galilee, who enthralled millions with his teachings, who healed the sick, who cleansed the lepers, who cast out demons. This Jesus was coming into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And there, as he's coming, "behold the crowds, branches of palm trees in their hands, taking the clothing off their back to welcome the sovereign king who is coming lowly on a colt." Shouting, "blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Worshipping this king. The overwhelming majority of the people worshiping and welcoming the King of Israel, their Messiah, into the city of David. So much excitement and so much popular sentiment to this effect that the Roman authorities in the Jewish religious establishment were in fear of what was going to happen. They were going to lose their power. But you know, a funny thing happened. A week later, all of these very same people were not saying, "blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, give us Jesus." They were shouting, "give us Barabbas, and let him," Jesus, "be crucified." Stony ground hearers. They'd heard the gospel. They'd heard all of the wonderful things that Jesus was teaching, but they wanted his kingdom now. They wanted his kingdom on their own terms. They wanted salvation from political problems, from economic problems. They didn't want salvation from their spiritual problems, which is the one thing they needed. They wanted salvation on their own terms. They were stony ground hearers. They had never truly accepted the gospel and become disciples of the Master. And so here they were, going with the tide of public opinion, "let him be crucified." You know the one. The one who is most excited about the gospel and the church. Don't be that one. If you're here today or you're listening on media, you might be all excited about the time of worship and song, or the things that you hear and read in the scriptures, about the fellowship in this place. You might be all excited about these things. You might be so excited That you say, you know what? You put an oath before the Lord and you say, God, I am going to be here 8 days a week. I want to be like the Beatles. 8 days of the week, I want to be worshiping God. Of course, that's not really what they were doing. But you know, you get the reference, right? 8 days a week, I'm going to be in the house of God. And then suddenly, they're gone. They're gone. You see them every Sunday. You see them every Friday. They're driving me nuts with emails and phone calls, questions about this, that, and I'm all excited too, right? You want to send me emails with questions about the Word of God or insights about the things in the Scriptures, I'll dialogue with you all day. You're not going to wait too long for these responses, right? All of these things going on, and then all of a sudden, gone, right off the face of the earth. Stony ground hears. When the testing comes, when the going gets tough, those who are weak spiritually get going back from whence they came. Never truly saved, never a Christian disciple. Better to be consistent and slow in learning of Christ than to come on like gangbusters and drop off the face of the earth. The Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. If you can't read 4 chapters a day in your Bible, read 3. If you can't read 3, read 2. If you can't read 2, read 1. And if you can't read 1, I don't know what to tell you. You've got things that are occupying your time that don't belong there. The thorny ground hearer. Remember the rich man who presumably had grown up in Israel, you know, hearing of all of the things that relate to God and His truth. But he was so busy accumulating wealth and very successful at it besides, right? He kept building barn after barn after barn. Wow, he got so much stuff, and to build another barn. Filled up that barn. Stuff mod, right? He had the big sign outside, you know, with the picture of what is it, Larry the Tomato and Bob the Cucumber VeggieTales, for you who aren't familiar with the kids show. And you know, with the Stuff Mott sign out front, Madam Blueberry, right, she knows better now because she went through the whole episode and all of that. And if you watched it, you do too. But this guy liked his stuff. He loved his stuff. He liked his stuff so much. Well, this man died without Christ, a fool. He failed to heed the warning. Do not be like the horse or like the mule. You just might not wake up tomorrow morning. Our self-will should be submitted to God's will with regard to Christian living, obeying God's word. The good ground. There are degrees of good ground. Some hear the word of God, but they hold out in certain areas. Notice that some bear fruit and produce 100-fold. Some 60 and some 30. Now there are two ways we can look at it. We can apply the scripture after the manner of the parables, the parable of the talents. In other words, to some God requires much because He has given much to them. There is another way, however, which we can apply it, and this is how I'm going to attempt to present it here this morning, is with respect to a percentage. In other words, if you have, each of us has 100% of the spiritual truth and purpose revealed and given to us that we need, right? It's not God's fault that we mess up. God's given us 100% of the tools that we need to go out and do what we need to do to fulfill our purpose in life. Some of us come closer to the 100% mark. Nobody is going to hit the 100, right? You know, but some of us will come close to the 100. Some of us might be in the 60 area. Some of us might be in the 30% area. The great majority of Christians are probably more like 2%. Now, there are degrees of good ground. hearing the word of God in certain areas, how much of what you hear do you apply? How much of what you're supposed to do, do you do? Christian truth and the Chinese buffet are two different things. Right? You go to the Chinese buffet, you can take the General Tso's chicken and leave the sweet and sour. Take the fried rice, but I don't like boiled rice, so I don't take the boiled rice. The egg rolls, I don't really like this kind of egg roll. So, you know, if they had the other kind of egg roll, I prefer that, you know. But they're two totally different things. We don't get to choose which dishes of Christian truth that we're going to take, in which we're going to leave. So, friend, what areas are you holding out in? Or put another way, what sin are you holding on to? The sin of neglect, sins of omission. Are you not giving the Lord your time? Are you not giving the Lord your heart, your effort? How much good ground really exists in the field of your heart on which spiritual fruit may flourish? To what degree do you take your self-will back, thereby you are kept from living out God's purposes and plans for you? Do not be like the horse or like the mule. What change will you make today? If you will not make the change today, then you will not make it tomorrow. Will you resolve to stop doing that thing which takes up too much of your time, too much of your effort? That thing which you do at the expense of the spiritual things that God is requiring of you. The expense of your family, your time with your husband, your wife, your children, your family, your friends, your church, your spiritual family. Will you stop looking at things you ought not to? Wasting time surfing the internet, dealing with things that are of no spiritual profit whatsoever, going to places you ought not to, keeping company with people who hate God, keeping company with people who, I'll use the example, use the Lord's name in vain on a very regular basis. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Sooner or later, you're going to become like them. I'm not saying you should go out of the world, but our exchanges with unbelievers ought not to cross the line to the point where we're compromising our actions and our behaviors to their standards. To their standards, we've got to hold the line. Otherwise, they're not going to take us seriously. How are they going to take Christ seriously if they don't take us seriously? We're the only epistle they're ever going to read. They're not going to read the book of Matthew until they've read the book of you. So we're called to imitate the Savior, Jesus Christ, if indeed He is our Lord. Now, if the Lord does not get your attention through conviction, I'm going to take it from the other way, from the positive working towards the negative. As we close this morning, stubbornness, being stubborn in our responses, in our actions towards the Lord, are going to inhibit our joy. We're not going to be able to live up to our purpose. We're going to be miserable as the consequences of sin come to roost and take away our joy over and over and over again until we're finally brought to the place where we get it. Where we get it. God is not some cosmic killjoy. He has come that we might have joy and that we might find it to the full. We might experience the fullness of joy through and in Christ. Christ Jesus. John chapter 15. Well, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, for the convictions that we find in it, but also for the encouragement that you give us. Lord, help us. Help me, O Lord, that I might discern the areas in which I might need to give over to you, where I might be able to transfer my self-will, that you might replace it with your will, the divine will. Lord, so many times I find myself acting exactly like the horse, acting exactly like the mule. God, catch me before I go too far down these roads in my daily life. And Lord God, if there are any who are stubborn to the point of withholding their heart from you, Lord, convict them at this time. For our prayer for them is this, and for any who have still not accepted the free gift of salvation which you give through Christ Jesus, if you've been stubborn with regard to the gospel, friend, pray with me. Lord, I am a sinner. I have been so stubborn, following after my own ways, thinking that my own path will take me to heaven. But now I see that it's not anything to do with me that will get me a place in heaven, but it has everything to do with you, Lord. That you sent your Son Jesus to come down and to pay the penalty for sin, so that I wouldn't have to pay it. And then you rose again and are seated at the right hand of power, interceding for me. And Lord, this morning, I want to lay hold of that promise, that all those who come to you will in no wise be cast out. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we trust to you the results of our prayers. Amen and amen. Amen.